just too big to ignore, and I know too much to go.
Don't mess with women!
It is our decision, not theirs.
I hope John Ashcroft is listening. He's just over there, you know, because we are a true threat to his vision of America.
So keep the faith.
I'm Senator Barbara Boxer, and I'm pro-choice.
Keep your claws off my body. Keep your claws off my body.
Well, it's time to take women's rights off the bargaining table and put up a sign that says, not negotiable.
But this is the biggest march because we are fed up and we are not going to take it anymore.
Que viva choice!
Viva!
This government is the greatest danger on earth.
They better put our uteruses in a lockbox and keep their hands off them!
We are here today with our daughters, with our mothers, with our husbands, with our boyfriends, with our sisters, with our lovers.
They are coming after your schools. They are coming after your neighborhood pharmacy. They are even coming after your Girl Scout cookies.
And I know one thing for sure. This is unquestioned. This is the largest march in women's rights history. And forget women's history, in history.
Know your power and use it.
This is not just a woman's issue. It's a human issue. Let's hear it for the boys.
Keep your hands off our bodies.
And here is our message. It's very simple. We are pro-choice, and we will never go back.
We are here to take back our country.
Now they need to hear you at the White House!
It is your choice, not the politicians. We reject, Mr. Bush, your hypocrisy, your greed.
Women's rights are not negotiable.
We have the power. We have the power. We have the power. We have the power.
I'm Kate Heichelman, and I am pro-choice America.
So I want you to help me out here. Let's tell John Ashcroft to take his long right-wing arms off our medical privacy.
Don't mess with women.
Just some of the voices you would have heard yesterday had you been watching. It started out as the right for the freedom of choice, and then it turned into, what did it turn into? March for Women's Lives. They want to expand some of the topics there to increase the turnout for that women's march yesterday in the mall in Washington, D.C. Just some of the voices you might have heard, among them Eleanor Schmiel. Let's see, there was also Kate Michaelman in there, Barbara Boxer, several celebrities as well. It's Open Lines, Issues, etc. I'd like your reaction to yesterday's March for the Lives of Women, March for Women's Lives, whatever it was called. There on the front page, right under the fold of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, hundreds of thousands attend a rally at National Mall. Let's see. Bush policies in danger, rights protesters say. It's a sea of faces and a sea of signs, and as you heard, a sea of voices. It's Open Lines. I'd like your reaction to it. 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues Etc. The first hour, Open Lines, for your reaction to the March for Women's Lives and Abortion Rights March that turned into something more than an abortion rights march. What did you hear there? And we just played brief snippets of what went on for 4 hours. What did you hear there yesterday as you watched it or as you tuned in and out? Did you notice a few things like a strong use of euphemisms? Did you hear a lot about babies there? Or the unborn? I didn't. I heard a lot about rights, about protecting people's rights, about protecting people from oppressive government. Sounds great, doesn't it? Never forget the bottom line of yesterday's event. It was about a woman's right to choose, not just to choose anything, but to choose to kill her unborn child. And let me put a stronger point on it, if I could. It's not just about a woman's right to choose, because this isn't about women in general, the abortion issue. It's about mothers. A woman, if she's not a mother, doesn't have the opportunity for an abortion, does she? I mean, the choice is only theoretical. It's only beyond a hypothetical choice if she's a mother. If they were saying it actually, they'd say a mother's right to choose to kill her baby. What do you think? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. A lot of sloganeering, a lot of chanting, demagoguery and fear-mongering too. John Ashcroft came off very poorly yesterday. He apparently has very long right arms, and he's reaching for the uteruses of women. I haven't seen him do that before, but I guess he is. False dichotomies. It's either let us kill our babies, or you're going to push women back to the 19th century? What did you make of the attempt there by many of the speakers in yesterday's March for Women's Lives to tie this into any and every issue on the board? The war with Iraq, the Patriot Act. There was one speech that I listened to that was as much about the Patriot Act. It was the head of the ACLU. It was as much about the Patriot Act, and he managed very nicely to segue from the Patriot Act to a woman's right to choose, as though the two have something to do with one another. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me, and I'm not accustomed to hearing people yell that much. But there seemed to be a lot of anger. They've had Roe v. Wade on the books, safe and sound, for over 30 years, and they're still mad. They're still really, really mad. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We just tried to bring you the best of what we heard, or at least a smattering of what we heard at yesterday's March for Women's Lives. Did you hear something we didn't include? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I heard at the very end there, I can't remember if it was Kate Michaelman or one of the other leaders of a pro-choice group. She said, our medical privacy. And I was thinking to myself, what does that mean? Keep your hands off our medical privacy. Lots of talk about choice, lots of talk about reproductive freedom, all very good sounding things for a very, very bad thing indeed. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, if you looked at the paper, it said in part, armed with bold placards and bright colored banners, abortion rights supporters from Missouri and Southern Illinois marched in step with throngs of other protesters Sunday to rail against what they see as an erosion of reproductive freedoms under President George W. Bush. The March for Women's Lives on the National Mall, estimated by police at 500,000 to 800,000 strong. And there was a lot of talk yesterday as well about how large the march was. Eleanor Schmiel at one point even said the largest march in history. And another one of the celebrities there said the largest march in the history of the universe, I think she said. So 500, 800,000 strong, according to the Associated Press. It stretched from the base of Capitol Hill for about a mile to the Washington Monument. Women and men joined the protest from across the nation from nearly 60 countries, asserting that damage from Bush's policies is spreading far beyond the United States through measures such as the ban on federal money for family planning groups that promote or perform abortions abroad. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's start by talking with Jeff, who's calling from his car. Jeff, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you very much, Todd. I think it could be summarized very simply by I'm about myself, and I'm very selfish, and I don't care about anybody else, and I'm afraid that my selfishness is going to be taken away. I think that's a good summary of the 4 hours.
Hey, Jeff, I was curious about something. What did you think about seeing, or in my case, I heard it, hearing about it, seeing the pro-choice leaders there with their families, in particular with their children and their daughters? How did that strike you?
I think it was very hypocritical, and it was trying to use vision. We know now for a fact that visuals make a story for us to think about, and the story that they're trying to say is we are loving people, we do care about family, we just want our rights. And they were trying to give that message, and that's why you didn't hear a lot about babies, you didn't hear about partial birth abortions, you didn't hear about all the stuff that we know abortion has, but no one's speaking of those terms because they don't want those visuals in the minds of the people.
Jeff, thank you very much. All right, that's a man's perspective. I want to hear from you women. You were supposedly represented yesterday. They were saying this is the voice of women in America. And they talked about, they didn't just say it was some women. They said 100 million women in the United States share their views. How do you feel about that? What do you think about that? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Not only was there the euphemism, you know, saying calling something bad good or using a good term like reproductive freedom instead of abortion, but there was also what was not said, and Jeff points it out very nicely. What was not said? What was not mentioned? The child in the womb? Not mentioned. The fact that it is... The fact that it is a mother that we're talking about here, not just women's rights. This isn't just general women's rights. These are mothers. We're talking about mothers with babies in their wombs who make this choice. That was not discussed either. What about anyone making a case for what's in the womb? Did you hear any of that? Did you hear anyone argue for what is in the womb or what's not in the womb? It wasn't even brought up. It didn't even enter the conversation. Were there any arguments made concerning the unborn, or do they feel the need any longer to even make those arguments? Lots of slogans, lots of mantras, lots of chanting. Bob's calling from his car. Bob, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you very much. I heard their comments, and I was really a shiver went down my spine because I was struck with the venom and the hatred and the anger, and also the thought that this is a spiritual, and the thought that the battles that go on in high places among the principalities and their involvement in this. And that's my comment.
Bob, thank you very much. I appreciate your call. All right, another man heard from, concerned about the spiritual facet of this particular event. What about you women? Did any of you watch it? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. What scares you more? These feminists represented in the march yesterday in Washington, D.C., 500 to 800,000 strong, or the religious right, which, to be quite honest, if we're going to paint with the same brush on both sides, often use the same techniques, euphemisms and sloganeering and demagoguery and false dichotomies. Which scares you more? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or for that matter, trying to tie one issue to every other issue in the universe, which took place yesterday, but also takes place on the right as well. We had a caller, or maybe it was someone who wrote us. Yeah, I think it was someone who wrote us recently, who said that to a certain degree, this issue, the pro-choice issue, can also make Pharisees of men. It's easy to look at this and say, look at these women, my goodness. They're so angry. I see the picture in the paper. These young women, one of them, according to the caption there, women marching in Sunday's protest in Washington, shout at an anti-abortion demonstrator. The march drew nearly 60 countries. The girl who is kind of hunched over with a very angry look on her face. And it's very easy for us as men to stand by and say, well, those women, go figure. This issue has the potential, I think the listener was right, to make Pharisees out of men, too. There were men there yesterday. There were even men speaking there yesterday in favor of these things. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. What is driving the anger, as the caller said, the venom? What's behind it? Could it be the way these women have been treated by men? I mean, you don't make a feminist. A feminist isn't born. I don't think they are. This kind of anger, this kind of venom, this kind of thoughtless chanting of euphemisms and slogans in favor of what is, without a doubt, one of the most heinous acts, so heinous that they don't talk about it themselves, at least not in public. What drives this kind of anger? And it's not just a general, it's not just an anger about you're taking my right to choose away. It seems to be a generalized anger toward men embodied by George W. Bush and John Ashcroft. It's Open Lines, Issues, Etc., 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. In the story again, the crowd bearing banners with slogans such as, "Not every sperm needs a home," "Not every sperm needs a home," and "Keep your rosaries off my ovaries," included some 2,000 Missourians, 2,000 of them, many of whom had brought special lime green T-shirts distributed by a local march organizers in St. Louis. Gary Berger, an attorney from St. Louis who flew in Saturday, paid $7 for his. He said he was very excited about taking part and didn't seem to mind that he was surrounded mainly by women under 35 chanting and beating drums. It's Open Lines, Issues, Etc. I want to hear from the women. No, I'll put it this way. I must hear from the women. I speak at pro-life events all the time. I see men and women, but mostly women. What was your reaction to this? 500 to 800,000 women there saying that they speak for all 100 million of you in the United States. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's talk with Juanita, who listens in Iowa on the internet. Juanita, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello.
Hi.
I don't think they speak for me personally. I did not listen to the rally. I didn't have an opportunity to because we were busy yesterday, and I probably was glad I was. My blood would have boiled. But I think they can't say anything about the babies because they can't admit that that is a baby. That's too much admitting that there is a life there, and to admit that that's a life is that's taking a huge step for them.
Do you think that their message does resonate with women?
No. With me, no, it doesn't. I mean, it does not. It only makes me angry because they're not looking at life realistically. They're not portraying any view that I have of women. In fact, I think they're exploiting women by not telling the truth.
Juanita, thank you very much for the call. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We're joined now by Laura Echevarria, a regular guest here on Issues, Etc. She's Director of Media Relations for National Right to Life, based in Washington, D.C. Laura, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. It's good to be on again.
Laura, give us your take on the March for Women's Lives yesterday in Washington, D.C.
Well, the march contained a lot of different groups there from various backgrounds. There were some people there who were protesting immigration. There were a lot of people there, I think, who were just protesting President Bush. So it was comprised not just of people who were there to march in support of Roe versus Wade, or, you know, just pro-abortion marchers. There were a lot of marchers there for a variety of reasons. So I think the biggest thing we're seeing is that the marchers in particular and those who organize the march are completely out of touch with mainstream America. They don't represent mainstream Americans. And we saw that in a Zogby poll that was released last week. We had Zogby ask questions of about 1,200 respondents, and, of course, the numbers came back where about 60% of Americans agreed with the pro-life movement, you know, about abortion. That about 59% actually, the actual number, 59% said that abortion should only be legal in the hard cases, you know, at most, some of them came back and said, absolutely not at all. Others came back and said, only in cases of rape and incest. And some of them came back and said, only in cases of life of mother. And those totals, those three answers together totaled 59%. And then Fox came out with a survey that they did that was released today. And those responding said that, you know, when asked if they were pro-life or pro-choice, 47% said pro-life and 44% said pro-choice. So we're seeing that those who were marching yesterday are very much out of touch with the vast majority of Americans.
I found a very odd quote that I need you to parse for me in the local paper here, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. It came from Linda Harrison, president of the Missouri National Organization for Women, mm-hmm. who attended the march yesterday, according to the paper. She says this, "Everyone thinks that we're pro-abortion. I don't know anyone marching who's pro-abortion. We're pro-choice." What is she saying?
They like to argue that they're really not in support of abortion, that they're not out there actually saying that abortion is a good thing or something like this. And this is a nuance that in recent days pro-abortion groups are really going for. You know, we've all heard the arguments that the unborn baby is, you know, just a blob of tissue, or it's just the products of conception, so forth and so on. Well, lately there's been, I think, a review by the pro-abortion groups that maybe they're losing this battle because they're not being quite upfront about everything. So now they're kind of changing things a little bit to kind of admit, okay, abortion may not necessarily be a good thing. And we're not necessarily saying that we're supporting abortion per se, but that we're supporting your determination to make that decision for yourself. So it boils down to, you know, this is your basic human right. And that's what they're starting to argue, and they're nuancing it. And it's not necessarily a new argument that you have that right to make that decision, but that they're starting to admit a little bit more about abortion isn't necessarily a great thing. And some women, yes, some women may be hurt from it and so forth and so on. But overall, that's still your decision to make, and no one should step in and make that decision for you. And like I said, there are some, not necessarily every pro-abortion group, but there's been a real push in some circles to be much more forthcoming about what actually happens in an abortion. But it hasn't taken off as far as mainstream pro-abortion groups are concerned.
Laura, can you give us a few minutes on the other side of the break?
Sure.
All right. One question before we go with only a minute to answer. What do you make of the claim? And it was implied, but it was also explicitly stated that Roe v. Wade is not only under attack, but actually endangered at this point.
The Supreme Court at this point in time, it's actually a 6-3 majority in favor of Roe based on the most recent decision that would have challenged Roe. And right now that court is comprised of the same people who made that 6-3 decision. So it's not, at this point in time, we would not see a change in Roe versus Wade based on this current court makeup.
Laura Echevarria is our guest, joining us momentarily here as we get your reaction to the March for Women's Lives. It was held yesterday. 500,000 to 800,000 men and women are the estimates from the Associated Press and the police in Washington, D.C. We'll get more of Laura's thoughts on this when we come back. I invite yours as well, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. One question for you, our listeners. Were you disappointed that, you know, this was also an opportunity for pro-life marchers to show up? Were you disappointed by what it seemed to be a very small, at least by comparison, very small showing by the pro-life community as well? We'll be right back. More Issues Etc. after this.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do Christians, Jews, and Muslims worship the same God? Can someone worship God the Father apart from Jesus Christ? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I've written an article for the next edition of the Issues Etc. Journal. It's called Mere Monotheism, and you can receive a complimentary copy of the Issues Etc. Journal by calling our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. What's the difference between a knowledge of God and the true worship of God? Find out with the Issues Etc. Journal, 1-800-737-0172. The next issue also details Dr. Leonard Peyton's journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism, 1-800-737-0172. Now, if you enjoy Issues Etc., the radio show, you need to get the Issues Etc. Journal. Call now, 1-800-737-0172, and ask for a free copy of the Issues Etc. Journal.
Now this Global Minute lets you hear about the impact of prayer for a missionary family in Moscow. Artists in Moscow may have little contact with either the established Orthodox Church or any of the evangelical churches. The Searsing family demonstrates Christ's love to intellectuals in the arts community. Jeremy Searsing is a young man who describes his mother's outreach.
My mom's ministry is to mostly the Russian artist community, contemporary artists who have different studios throughout Moscow. She visits with them a lot, goes to their exhibitions, and ministers to them. And she's never really had a place at home because our apartments have always been really small and out of the way. But our new one, since it's downtown, she can have lots of her friends over, prayer meetings, Bible studies.
The Searsings say the prayers of friends and supporters help them find a larger apartment for outreach purposes. Get prayer news from around the world by visiting the website missionvisionnetwork.org. That's missionvisionnetwork.org.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. If someone started talking to you about disarticulation, what would you think they were talking about? I would guess disarticulation referred to someone's problems with English. Or if someone talked about intact extraction, I would imagine special ops forces going into hostile territory and getting someone out alive. Getting someone out alive. The terms I've used are ways pro-choice people describe partial birth abortion. Intact dilation and extraction actually means a doctor partially removes a living fetus from the womb and then punctures or crushes its skull. The fetus is then removed whole. That comes from a recent Associated Press article about word usage in current abortion court cases. The neutral word procedure is used to lure people into thinking abortion isn't much different than having your tonsils out. And disarticulation? Honest people call it dismembering. Dismembering what? The fetus? In partial birth abortion, the fetus is a viable baby having the same value before God as anyone else. The law outlawing partial birth abortions is being contested in the courts. Please say a prayer, and please be politically aware and involved. God help us get those babies out alive.
Ordinarily, I would tell you what we're going to be doing next time on the Bible study. I can tell you this will be in the last half of Mark chapter 12, but our guest will be Pastor John Lukomsky, and he never goes where I want to go anyway. So I'll tell you that Pastor Lukomsky will be here, and we'll talk about Mark chapter 12 next time on the Bible study, whatever he wants to do. Listen at 10:05 in the morning.
The Bible Study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
As a grandmother, I want my children and grandchildren to grow up in a society that respects their rights and values their health. The right to plan for healthy families, the right to privacy, the right to choose. These are fundamental American rights to be preserved for all time and all generations.
That was House Minority Leader Representative Nancy Pelosi at yesterday's March for Women's Lives. We're talking with Laura Echevarria, Director of Media Relations for National Right to Life, based in Washington, D.C., getting her thoughts on the march yesterday. Laura, your response to Pelosi's comments there.
Well, I think that, again, I think it shows that there is a disconnect between those people who are marching yesterday and the rest of America. We have seen repeatedly in polling data that parents want to be involved in their minor daughter's decision when it comes to abortion, and that the vast majority of Americans oppose partial birth abortions, and that the vast majority of Americans supported the Unborn Victims of Violence Act. That when you look at how Americans feel about the abortion issue, they do not like the fact that there are 1.3 million abortions a year. And like I said, that the polling data that's come back this week, just between Fox and the Zogby information, I think I misspoke about the Zogby information. I think I said 59%. It was 56.1 took a pro-life viewpoint versus 42.4 that took a pro-abortion viewpoint. And we're seeing that consistently, that more and more Americans are saying abortion is bad, and it's a bad thing, and we don't like it. And, you know, there should be more restrictions on it. And so as a mother, I, you know, I certainly would like my daughter to come to me if she found herself in this situation. But I also want to make sure that she doesn't feel like that pro-abortion groups and women's groups out there are telling her this is her only solution. And the only way to do that is to effectively and continuously point out the truth behind what happens in an abortion, that a life is taken, and that you cannot say that that life is insignificant or unimportant or that it's not living. And this is not a woman's right versus a child's right. This is a pro-life issue, and whether or not we feel that that unborn child is a living human being. And if it's a living human being, we do not have the right to take that life.
What about the pro-life turnout, the counter demonstration yesterday at the march? What do you make of it?
Well, I think there were a lot of people that, when you see one of these marches, especially with the pro-abortion groups, they can be, one of the articles, the Washington Post, pointed out that there were a lot of obscenities. It's not necessarily a family gathering or a family thing that you really want to attend or to even counter-protest. And so certainly there were a lot of, there were people who were there. But like I said, the signs that are displayed and the language that very often is used among the protesters, it's not the same. When you go to the March for Life, it's a very... You know, the signs are, for the most part, by and large, aside from the ones that may be graphic that show an unborn baby, that has undergone an abortion, aside from those, you're not going to find offensive language on the signs, and you're not going to hear obscenities and things along those lines. And so I know that that was something that, like I said, was pointed out in the Washington Post. So I think that many people in the area that might have gone to the March for Life back in January, we're not necessarily going to go this. And that, like I said, it's not necessarily what one would consider a family event.
Was there a name change? I mean, I've been wondering about this for the last couple of days, because we did an interview in advance of this march. Mm-hmm. And at the time, it was being listed in the paper as the March for Freedom of Choice. Then going into the weekend, I started hearing it called the March for Women's Lives.
They've been calling it the March for Women's Lives. That's what the pro-abortion groups were calling it. And I think the website was actually marchforwomen.org that they had posted information on how you can get to the march and things like that. But they were calling it March for Women's Lives. But I think it's one of those things where many members of the press may not have picked up on the official name of the march. But they have been calling it for quite some time. Last year, when we were hearing that they were doing this, I don't know if they had an official title for the march yet, but in the last several months, they have been using March for Women's Lives.
Finally, Laura, I would like you to comment on what appears to me to be the tragic irony of many of the people who are on the dais bringing up their children or their grandchildren there in a pro-choice, a pro-abortion rally.
I noticed that myself. There were some pictures in a number of the newspaper articles showing parents with newborns and young children, around 2 or 3 years of age, or parents bringing their teenage daughters. And I right there with you. The irony. It was very sad, to be perfectly honest. I mean, I have a 5-year-old daughter and a 1-year-old son, and like I said, seeing, children 2 years old, an infant, that sort of thing, they're at the march. I kept thinking of my kids and that I wouldn't want them to think that. I think I've heard enough stories about kids, especially here in the office, those kids who've grown up after Roe versus Wade. I was born right before Roe versus Wade was decided, a couple of years before it. And so, listening to kids who have grown up in the Roe versus Wade generation, you do always kind of wonder if it weren't for the luck of the draw that you could have been, one of the kids that was aborted. And I wouldn't want my children, especially being out there, and these people are the ones who are vehemently in support of Roe versus Wade and vehemently in support of abortion. I wouldn't want my kids questioning whether or not they could have been a statistic. Since I'm so violently in support of it, by what means did it mean that they were saved from abortion if I'm so enthralled with it? And I think that's what bothered me the most is, the young kids who are there, you know, it kind of, it, personally, I think I would question whether or not my parents, you know, what meant that I was not aborted? What saved me from being aborted? Why did my parents, you know, if I was a choice, you know, what decisions went into that? And was it the luck of the draw? And I think it would make me question, you know, a great deal. And I think that bothered me more than anything else, was knowing that my kids have the security of knowing that they were definitely 100% wanted, no matter what the circumstances were under which we had them, but they were desperately wanted, and that we were very, very pro-life. And I felt sorry for the kids who were there, especially the teenagers who were old enough to understand this, you know, that they would question why they were so fortunate not to be aborted if their parents were so, like I said, vehemently in support of Roe versus Wade.
Laura Echevarria is Director of Media Relations for National Right to Life, based in Washington, D.C. Laura, thank you for joining us again.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You can go to the website for National Right to Life at nrlc.org, nrlc.org. Now, I want to hear from you on yesterday's March for Women's Lives in Washington, D.C. Our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. We're going to give away some tapes of Issues Etc. programs on feminism, abortion, and other issues to the best callers, absolutely free. 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. A reminder, in the next hour, we're going to hear from Marianne Hackett of Illinois Right to Life and a regular guest, Carolyn Graglia, author of the book Domestic Tranquility, A Brief Against Feminism. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I really do want to hear from the women. We heard from two men. Oh, that we had a female caller, Juanita, from Iowa, and we heard from Laura Echevarria. What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Kelly is calling from Fenton. Kelly, welcome to Issues Etc.
Oh, hi. I did not see but a few seconds, maybe a minute of the... I did see Whoopi in the front row, though, which kind of disappointed me. But my point is, I'm 60. And I grew up when this all started. And I just want to, not that I am for abortion, don't even get that in your head, but I understand when this all came about, I understand the reasons behind it.
What would those be, Kelly?
Well, excuse me. First of all, let me say that the men in this country need to take 50% or more blame for this happening, because they, in the past, and even probably today, although I don't know how it works out today in numbers, but there was no support for women back when this started. The men did not have to take the blame or the credit or whatever they wanted to call it, for what they did, which they were equally to blame, sometimes more, because the women may have been raped for all of this starting. And there was no law to protect women from being pregnant and having nowhere to go, because back then there was nowhere to go to take care of this problem. There was no support, and if you were pregnant, you had to have the baby, try to figure out how to work. If you had other kids, you had to try to figure out what to do with them. It was not an easy thing.
Well, Kelly, no doubt. I mean, no one's saying that it would be an easy thing, but there was a choice to be made before conception. Not every woman who finds herself pregnant in those circumstances is raped.
I totally agree with you. That is always my point. My point today is, it doesn't matter if you were raped or how you got that baby. The rape was not your choice. But if you got pregnant without being raped, let's say that, that is your fault. And it is not that baby's fault, and under no circumstances are you to ever kill it.
Kelly, I'm glad to hear you say that, and thank you very much for the call. You know, there is a choice that I am in favor of, 100%. You know what it is? It's the choice that you make before you get pregnant. I am preconceptually pro-choice, as Don Matzit used to say. I think he even might even coined that little phrase, preconceptually pro-choice. You can make a choice not to get pregnant. It's very simple. You know what it's called? Abstinence. Oh, man, did you hear what they had to say about abstinence yesterday? They were saying women and teenagers cannot live with abstinence only. Yeah, they can't live with it. It's impossible. It can't be done. By the way, after 30 years plus of feminism, men have pretty much gotten everything they wanted, haven't they? Men are better off after 30 plus years. I speak facetiously, but bear with me. Men are better off after 30 plus years of feminism than they ever were before. Feminists gave us sex on demand with no consequences. The sexual revolution. Go ahead, have sex with me on demand with no consequences. Keep your hands off my uterus if you are a government official, but if you're a guy, come on. And you won't have to pay any consequences. You can walk away because I can always have my choice, right? No-fault divorce. I don't know if there were the most chauvinistic men pre-feminism would have dreamed of such freedom. The biggest pig walking the streets, just hooking up with women hither and yon, would have dreamed of this kind of freedom. Sex with no consequences. Men today don't have to worry about it anymore. If they get a girl pregnant, they just say, hey, it's your choice. Go make your choice. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Such are the fruits of feminism in the United States. Kent is calling from his car. Kent, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. Thank you. I have three objections to Roe that intersect with me, but I think that anyone holding any one of them would be opposed. Can you hear me?
Yeah, give them to me.
Okay, first, as an attorney, I find the decision, how it was reached, to be outrageous. There's no quote-unquote right of privacy in the Constitution. And, well, hopefully that will be deconstructed in the near term. But there's some interesting things in there if you've ever actually read the decision.
I have, yes.
Second, as a Christian, my faith informs me that it is the murder of a precious soul. And third, leave religion out of it. From a science or medical standpoint, this is a living person. So, anybody who has any interest in any one of those three should come out on the side that, gee, this isn't a good thing. And all of the stuff together, the evidence is irrefutable.
Do you think that the church should be communing, and I'm speaking here probably most carefully about the Roman Catholic Church, should they be communing pro-choice lawmakers such as, the big example, Senator John Kerry?
Absolutely not. Let me explain why. I suppose a Catholic in the pew who...
And you're speaking as a Catholic, Kent.
Quite right.
Yes.
I guess a Catholic in the pew who's quote-unquote enlightened or smart or something like that, who thinks that that's the only position to have, that's one thing. They don't influence policy. Well, I guess they do, but not in the same manner as appointing a Supreme Court justice or vetoing pro-life legislation. So if you're taking specific overt actions that promote abortion, you should not be, you shouldn't get Lord's Supper, no way.
Kent, thank you for the call. I want to hear from the rest of you and from the women, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I always think about this scenario when in answer to that question that I asked Kent. Okay, let's say for the sake of argument that Senator John Kerry becomes President John Kerry. And the opportunity through death, illness, whatever it may be, incapacity, opens up for him to appoint another Supreme Court justice. He can swing the court farther away from overturning Roe v. Wade by at least one vote by whomever he appoints. They're right? He can. In fact, he could, because they're lifetime appointments. If he serves one term, have more than one opportunity to do this, and thereby pretty much cement Roe v. Wade and its place in law, at least with regard to its challenge before the Supreme Court, for a long, 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 long time. Now, if he were to do that, I wonder what bishops would stand up in the United States. I wonder if McCarrick in Washington, D.C., or O'Malley in Boston would say, okay, it was enough when you were just pro-choice and you talked about it. Now you've done something. I wonder if that would finally be enough to bar him from the communion rail in the Roman Catholic Church where John Kerry is a member. Kent makes some great points. Look, it is bad law. Sit down. You don't have to be a lawyer, by the way. Kent is an attorney. But you don't have to be a lawyer to realize that when Supreme Court justices, who usually deal with law in the concrete and precedent, start to imagine things, how do you put it? They start talking about penumbra, which is just another word for a shadow. We find shadows of this thing, emanations from the Constitution that sound like a right to privacy. And let's be clear what the right to privacy that they were talking about entailed. This is not the right to privacy, Fourth Amendment right to privacy, a right to be safe from illegal or unwarranted search and seizure. That belongs to every citizen, right? Sure it does. That's not what they were talking about. That was not the reference for their so-called right to privacy in the Constitution. Their reference was a woman gets pregnant and she has the right to keep that fact secret. So much so that if she wants to get rid of the baby to hide the evidence that she was pregnant and dispose of the evidence that she was pregnant, she can do it. That was the reasoning of Roe v. Wade. Don't take my word for it. Go online, pick up the decision, read it for yourself. Look for those words, penumbra and emanations. Those are fancy terms used by Supreme Court justices to say, we can't find it in the Constitution, but we infer this. We see hints or shadows or vibrations of this in the Constitution. Bad law. Bad law. And his other points are well taken as well. There's no religious basis for justifying the murder, as he said, of an innocent soul. Nor, scientifically, is anyone trying to make the case that the person in the womb is not a real live human being that if left alone, keep your hands off my uterus. What about the baby inside the uterus? You didn't hear them say, we invite the abortionists to put their hands all over and all up inside our uteruses. They don't say that, but that's what they're asking for. That's what they're demanding be kept legal. They don't want John Ashcroft to put his long right arms all over the uteruses, but they have no problem with paying a handsome fee to an abortionist to do that. And again, what doesn't get mentioned? The person in the uterus. No one's making that argument. Why? It's an argument that can't be made. They've moved past this issue. Do you think they're afraid to discuss the point of who is in the uterus? Of what's in there? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Carolyn is calling from her car. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very well.
Well, I guess my point in this whole thing is that when girls are younger, they don't know what choice they're actually making and how it's going to affect them later in their life because they don't have the knowledge. You know, I hate to see people that grow up later and have a family and say, my God, why did I do that? It was a big mistake. Hindsight's 20/20. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. You're basically making the argument that in a human sense, they are asking for people who have no concept of the consequences of this action in terms
exactly.
of its guilt, in terms of its life, what it does in the course of their life. They're asking for these people to be given carte blanche to make decisions that really do affect their lives.
For the rest of their life, yes.
Yes. Carolyn, thank you very much. This is why these consent laws, these parental notification laws, and a woman's right to know type laws are so very, very important. Because as the law stands in many states, a girl, and we're not talking about women anymore, we're now talking about minor girls. Well, let's just not talk about any old state. Let's talk about mine, Illinois, Granite City. Girls can walk in there without a parent, without a guardian, without a driver's license. They can walk in there if they have the money and without being told one syllable or given one moment to think about it beyond just the moments in which they leave you alone with your own conscience, telling you this is the best decision you'll ever make, without one syllable of warning about what this could mean for the rest of their lives, If they have the money, they can have the abortion. Mom doesn't need to know. Dad doesn't need to know. No one needs to know. The law doesn't require it in Illinois. Not only do they not need to know, no one needs to give permission. We hear about a woman's right to choose. I said before, we're really talking about mothers, even mothers who are underage. 10% of abortions in the United States solidly are performed on minor children under the age of 18, legally minors. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Lael is up. She's calling from Webster. Hi, Lael.
Hi, Pastor. I could just weep to hear what they were saying on the TV. I think, sadly enough, they don't know what, obviously they don't know what they're doing, and free sex isn't free sex. We really pay for that.
Do you think they don't know what they're doing?
I think they do, but I think they're fearful that they've lost control, but they have already lost control. We're not animals. I don't know. I think they do know what they're doing, but then again, they want to do what they want to do, and it's not just hurting themselves. It hurts everyone.
Lael, thank you. We had a guest on recently. In fact, he's going to be on a little bit later today, Pastor Will Whedon, who is fond of describing the sinful impulse in us as, I want what I want when I want it. And that's what Lael describes there. They're going to do what they're going to do. They want to do what they want to do. I want what I want when I want it. And if I don't want the baby, then I don't want what I don't want, and I don't want it now, and that should be my right. Sad to say, legally in the United States, it is their right. It's a right with no legal, moral, or scientific foundation, but it is, sad to say, their right. From the youngest, from a girl who is just entered adolescence, what, 12, 13, to a woman who's at the very end of her reproductive cycle, all that big window, they say, you should have what you want when you want it. Whatever you want, when you want it. That's a question I want to save for Jay Bujaszewski when I talk to him about this issue. Do they know what they're doing? When you look at that vast sea of faces and signs and placards and slogans and mantras and chants that were in evidence in Washington, D.C. yesterday, and you look at the women and the men who are there and the people who stand on the dais advocating something, many of them have already gone through advocating this act, abortion, and trying their hardest to convince as many people as they can that it's the right thing to do, it's the best thing to do. Do they know what they're doing? When we get Jay Bujaszewski on, we'll talk about that as well. But in the next hour, we'll talk about the march with Marianne Hackett from Illinois Right to Life and Carolyn Graglia. Next hour after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.